Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
What was Theo Epstein's best moment in his news conference at spring training yesterday, and did he leave you with any questions?
I don't think he had a bad moment, to be honest with you. I have questions just about different baseball topics, but as I said earlier, mesmerizing to watch and listen to him speak about these subjects that he deftly went through and answered, I would think, perfectly. I mean, when he talked about it, there was no stumbling around. There was no sort of obfuscation when he talked about the situation with Joe Ricketts. He said exactly what needed to be said and what should have been said the minute this happened, and just covered it, asked and answered, and goodbye. The Addison Russell thing, as I said, my opinion on that is I'm a little troubled by the whole thing, and you feel better when you hear Theo talk about it, the way that he expresses what's happening, and they're now, what did he say, their second inning now? I mean, it's just, the guy is fantastic. He's just a great public speaker because he's a very thoughtful person and he can articulate his ideas. I would like to know more about some of the baseball matters. That's really, I think, the subject that sort of was later on in the conversation.
And may continue to be later on in the conversation.
Exactly, you know, right.
What a brilliant plan.
It's so true.
Look, I think that what he did was, you know, everybody kind of is awkwardly, feels a little awkward when they have to talk about domestic violence to somebody, especially publicly, or, you know, racist emails. It's an unpleasant, you know, topic. Nobody likes to talk about these things because it reflects so poorly on so many people. And yet he does it with such command. And I think that's the impressive thing. He gives us a template for everyone to follow, you know, using sort of poise. He's transparent, and he sounds wise. And I think that's the most impressive thing. I'm not sure he did have a bad moment, Molly. I think you're right. But I think probably the best one came when he went into detail and he elaborated on why the Joe Ricketts emails bothered him so much. And he said, I'd like to join Tom in stating unequivocally the views expressed in those emails have no place in our organization. And then he expanded on that, and he went into great detail about why diversity matters in baseball and why it's important for an organization to feel to create this sort of sense of inclusion, and that was impressive, because you know what, it's not easy to stand there and publicly call your boss's dad a racist, and that's exactly what he did. He did it in a very in a way that was subtle but significant, and I think that takes a lot of skill that sometimes we take for granted. So I don't know that he had a bad moment, and I wasn't really left with any questions.
I agree, David. His best moment was talking about Joe Ricketts, and when he started to say how baseball's this great vehicle to help us grow, and we're all inside this bubble, and it brings us outside the bubble. We should celebrate diversity. We're forced to be exposed to different backgrounds. And then one of the most interesting moments was when he said that they are a very easy target right now with their slogan that they've had everybody in. And it's about action. It's not about words. So I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, you remember, Joe? He said to everybody in. Remember the guy, the pediatrician we had last week? That was the gist of his editorial.
It was exactly the
word for word almost.
Yep. Absolutely.
It's like he read the editorial and he responded to it. It was great.
Yes. Any questions? Yeah, I was left with questions about Addison Russell. Theo was great, of course, but the line about this high standard or he's gone. What is that standard?
Mm-hmm.
Has the Cubs standard changed? Who's keeping Addison Russell accountable? I mean, he may check boxes for his bosses and do certain things. He talked about seeing the therapist 3-4 days a week. He's going above and beyond. All that's great. But as always, we don't know what's happening when they're away from baseball. So who's keeping him accountable? A lot of questions about the Russell stuff.
You know, Molly, in the first segment, you said almost tongue-in-cheekily that if Theo Epstein was running for any office or any honor, that you would vote for him. And I agree, and I don't say it really tongue-in-cheek. I think he's such a bright guy, and he's been around, despite the fact that he's not particularly, I mean, what is he, like 40 years old only now? It seems like he's been around forever because he's been so successful, and every time he speaks, you know, he's got this kind of magnetic quality to him where you want to hear what he's going to say, and you believe what he's going to say. And I think that yesterday was just the most recent example of that. And in particular, Joe, I agree with you. His comments on Joe Ricketts and all of that, you know, crap that we talked about over the last week or so, I think was spot on. He was strongly worded. And I think Theo, you know, kind of knowing where he falls, I guess you could say, on some sort of on social issues and things of that nature, I think that he and Joe Ricketts probably couldn't be more dissimilar from one another. And I think yesterday he tried to make that as clear as possible. You can't entirely distance yourself from somebody that literally purchased the team that employs you, so that's difficult. But he did the best he could. And like I said, I think those two people are as dissimilar as they can be. I am interested in seeing how they follow up with Addison Russell. I know it's a zero tolerance, this is your last chance sort of deal, but does that mean, you know, in all facets of off-field behavior? Does that mean things in the clubhouse? Does that mean specifically domestic violence? I think there should be a little bit more clarity to that, but I mean, I really can't complain or kill Theo for anything he did yesterday. He was excellent as usual.
He's 45 years old too, Kevin.
45. Yep. It still seems young. I mean, he looks great.
You know, we used to have fun and laugh about the old Sun-Times cover of Theo walking across Lake Michigan, right? I mean, is there anything this guy can't do in all seriousness? I mean, he was a master. And with, like, and no notes, right? When you watched it, it's just going and going and going. And David, to your point, the ability to basically call your boss's father a bigot. Wow. Right, to be able to do that, and I'm thinking there was a delay yesterday of up to 2 hour delay on that press conference, and I'm guessing that was what was being talked about behind closed doors, like how exactly are we handling Joe Ricketts? Because, you know, while he spoke excellently on Addison Russell and laid it out again, I don't know that I learned anything new there if you've been paying attention, right? I mean, there was a lot of that information is already out there. But again, he said it very, very well. The other thing I really liked is he kind of gave you a blueprint of once Addison does talk, I don't think there's going to be a lot of I'm just doing this so I don't get fined typed answers. Like, I think he's going to have to really talk this out. I don't think, well, that's something that I can't talk about because of a legal issue. Well, that's something that my therapist said is between me and my therapist. I don't think we're going to get a lot of, like, Woody Dowell pull the cord kind of answers from Addison Russell. At least that's not how I felt after hearing Theo yesterday.
I don't actually think this is much of a question.
What do you expect to hear from Addison Russell when he talks this weekend? Is he a roster lock in your mind? And would it be an upset if he doesn't break camp as a Cub?
I agree with you, Dustin. I don't think we're going to hear a kind of a glossed over version of events. I don't think we're going to hear the I'm just here so I'm not fine type of tone either from Addison Russell. But I don't know that we're going to hear or need to hear specific details of what he actually did. Maybe some people need to hear that. Maybe some people want to hear that. But I think that he has to check a couple boxes, though. Whenever he talks, whether it's Friday or Saturday, as it appears, he needs to show contrition. He needs to show sincerity. He needs to make sure that it's clear that he's holding himself accountable. I think he's got to come off as honest. And I think that's everything from body language to tone to approach to just the way that he answers the question. How he says it will be almost as important as what he says. And I think that's why we're in the bottom of the second inning, as Theo Epstein termed it yesterday. That's why I think they don't know what they have yet in Addison Russell, because I've maintained this all along. It's very unsettling to watch him be part of this team right now and take batting practice like nothing ever happened. And that's the guy that you remember. At the same time, I think his contribution to the story is still incomplete. I want to feel better about not me personally. I guess I will feel better about him being in uniform and part of this Cubs team once I hear what he has to say and how he holds himself accountable, if he does. And you can tell. And that's a big moment for him. The biggest moment for Addison Russell's spring training is not whether or not he can catch up with the fastball again or you know, kind of get the rhythm back in the field. It's how he handles this news conference that is, you know, facing what he did and how he did it. So I think that's a big that's a big weekend for Addison Russell. Is he a roster lock? No, I don't think he is a roster lock, because if he blows it on Saturday, I don't know that he's going to be, you know, on very firm ground. Would it be an upset if he doesn't break camp as a Cub? I'd be surprised. I think they want to give him an opportunity, and I understand why a lot better today than I did yesterday.
I think you put that well. I don't know how you win the news conference when you're in the position that Addison Russell is in. I think honesty, forthrightness, you know, having the correct tone, being apologizing, how about that, to his wife,
yeah,
first and foremost, to the fans, to the team, to teammates who now also will undergo some training here in this issue. So I think that there's ground to be won. But in my mind, he is a roster lock. In my mind, they have already made that decision. Could he blow it? Oh, absolutely. If he comes out and he's very arrogant about it and doesn't want to talk about anything and treats it as if it's just a pain in his keister, I think he could run afoul of some issues with the team. But the fact that he's there, the fact that he's addressing these things and that they've made clear what they expect from him, I would imagine that would make it a lot easier for him to get through this. Follow the plan that's been laid out for you. That's all he has to do. And if he does, then again, I believe the only thing he can do is cause himself trouble. If he just follows the plan, then he'll be on this team and he's a lock for the roster. And I think they've already made the decision to keep him, and it would be an upset in my mind if he were to break camp and not be a Cub. I think he's made the team. So, again, I think he could blow it. I mean, no doubt about it, but I don't think he will.
After hearing Theo talk about this yesterday, Russell's going to be a disappointment. He is. He's going to sound rehearsed. Maybe practiced it for months, mm-hmm. He's going to follow exactly what the Cubs told him to say, and I'm sure he's practiced it for them many times. They don't want any missteps here. I expect him to say, "I was wrong." Don't say, "Oh, it was just a mistake," or to poo-poo anything. He's absolutely a roster lock. He's been a roster lock for a very long time, and I would be shocked if he doesn't break camp. And, Molly, like you just mentioned, if that were to happen, it's because of something new happened.
Well, yeah, I also believe that he's a roster lock. I think if he wasn't somebody that they didn't want to include on their team, then they could have easily cut ties with him a couple of different times before, you know, the investigation and the counseling and all the other things that they've subjected Addison Russell to. I think if they didn't want him around, they could have easily done that much earlier. But, you know, Addison Russell, it's going to be really tough for me personally to really buy anything he says, because he's in a situation where, you know, has been told, you know, you have to be on your best behavior. You can't screw up one more time. You know, you say anything, you do anything, and you're gone. So he's going to be guarded. He's going to be contrite. But, you know, he also lied about this for, what, about a year straight before the suspension actually came down and the investigation went through, and Major League Baseball deemed his suspension to be an adequate punishment. So, you know, for a guy that went that long lying about something and then all of a sudden pops up and says, "Oh, you know what, I'm sorry, I didn't mean what I said before, and that was all BS, but you have to believe me now." It's hard for me to really get on board with that and just all of a sudden start to trust somebody, especially under these sort of circumstances.
Well, I expect him to apologize to his, I guess, now ex-wife, the mother of his child. I would hope that he starts out by apologizing to that child that was around those situations. I don't think he owes the fans an apology, to be honest with you. I don't think it really affected my day-to-day life, that what he did, right? He's going to have to apologize to his teammates. I'm sure there's things that they're going to have to go through that they're not happy about because of what he did.
is he a lot? How is this different than Kareem Hunt? A video, right? I mean, if he's going to make this roster unless he like goes on a tear off the field in Arizona. I mean, he's going to be on this roster. There's no doubt about it. And if he's not on this roster, it's because somebody else in baseball had like a horrific injury at that position that's now willing to give the Cubs something that they really he's going to be playing for a Major League Baseball team as soon as this suspension ends. That is a guarantee. Whether it's with the Cubs or not still remains to be seen, but it wouldn't be because of what's happened off the field. It would be because another team had a horrific injury and they needed a shortstop and the Cubs could get something that they valued back in place of him.
There's a couple differences with Hunt we'll get to later, but I think that's a really good question to ask given the news of this week with the Bears.
That's a great question.
What do you think of the Cubs' motto for 2019? Own it now. Do you like it better or worse than the Cubs slogan on t-shirts that stands for courage, urgency, and belief?
Cub.
Yeah, Cub. That's Cub.
I think it's a work in progress. I said that if you scrambled up these letters, you'd come up with wonton earlier because Joe said that now spelled backwards is one. And I would argue that own mixed around would be one as well. But so I made a joke about wonton, and someone said, if you break down wonton, it means not now. Our clever texter is very funny. I don't usually jump on the slogan. I think own it now is a lot better than courage, urgency, and belief. That's the honest to God opinion I have. But I own it now. Okay, fair enough. Great. Draw it on the Mona Lisa.
Yeah, I tend to be a little bit hesitant to attach the term courage to baseball. And I think that I didn't necessarily think much of the t-shirt or that slogan, but I do like own it now. I do like all the, I understand all the jokes, and Joe invited some more by saying, well, now backwards is one, and you didn't need that. Own it now is enough. We get it. The accountability, the urgency, the fact that you're on the last year of your contract, you're a free agent, the fact that you were told by your bosses you need to win early in the season rather than wait until later to make up lost ground. Own it now speaks for itself. It really doesn't need any explanation. That should be on the t-shirt.
I guess it's better than that's Cub. It's fine.
Yeah.
Cute. Slightly better than BU, maybe.
It's better than lease it now.
What about competency, David, instead of courage?
I like that.
The only one I feel like I bought into, probably because I was younger and dumb, but
authenticity has a chance to repeat itself.
Mike Ditka's fit to hit. That's still I still remember that summer that camp. But
I liked Embrace the Target.
Yeah, I did like that. That wasn't bad. It was a different subject.
We're running out of sports cliche.
But show me. I want to see the actions. I don't care about these words that they're talking about. They're going to have a long losing streak. Hey, guys, own it now. And then they're going to go out and play better. Is that what's going to happen? Is that going to help Chatwood throw a strike or Darvish stay healthy? I don't buy much into it. I guess own it now is better between the two.
So we've had BU, everybody in, that's Cub, Respect 90. Was there authenticity has the chance to repeat itself?
Forgot about that. I'm working on it.
There was something about like don't forget the heartbeat. I think that was one of them as well. I don't want to be mean here or unfair to the Cubs or Joe Madden, but the sooner this guy gets out of town with all of this hippy dippy baloney, the sooner I will be able.
Kevin, that's not mean at all.
No?
No.
Okay, good.
That's from the Lego movie. You're allowed.
This guy. Oh, he's so tiresome.
And what's the slogan down at 35th and Shields? Please show up.
You know what?
I mean, really?
Cub fan celebrating the attendance World Series once again. Yeah, right. Congratulations, buddy. Wow.
I mean, get
40,000 drones going in there with their button-up shirts.
Do us all a favor and don't step foot in Wrigley Field next year.
I'll get free tickets. I'll be there all summer, baby.
Yeah, another people that don't like hitting in football talk about football till the cows come home, and somebody that doesn't like Wrigley Field goes to free games at Wrigley Field.
Pour me a Goose Island.
So
The own it. I think both of them are both of them are decent, and both of them touch a lot of things that are going on with the Cubs, both on and
ownership,
off the field, right?
Own. That's ownership.
Yeah, listen, I'm not going to get into a word jumble contest with you. I know you'll wipe the floor with me. That I'm aware of, and I wouldn't expect anything else. I'm sure I'm a 44-1 underdog on that.
Raymond Harris would absolutely work you as well.
Work us all over.
This is a very important question.
Whether it's baseball hats, baby shoes, or Rawlings gloves, are Sox fans being trolled, or is Manny Machado on the way?
Oh, I think there's a bit of trolling involved. I think we got to be careful. I think it get a little swept away in the kind of excitement of the possibility of Manny coming to the South Side and the news coming today. Beware of trolling accounts and fake Twitter accounts. But I do think that there could be something to this. I don't know what it is, but I think that there's a sense that when you look at what is going on in free agency or what's not going on in free agency, every day of waiting, as agonizing as it is, I don't think it hurts the White Sox. I think that it probably it creates more probably frustration, but the possibility is still there until it isn't. So I do think the Rawlings glove photo had me for a couple hours thinking, how in the world could they put this out there, knowing what they know and knowing what the reaction will be? Maybe that's exactly why they put it out there. And then I saw a picture of him wearing a glove that was just similar in an Oriole uniform. I said, that doesn't match. Why was he wearing a White Sox glove last year? Did he know something? Was this going to happen? I don't know. I think it's going to be a long day of waiting, but maybe this is the day.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I think there's a lot of trolling going on. I think that's the whole thing's a giant troll. Here's the problem with free agency, okay? Everybody's waiting on free agency. Manny Machado has been offered an 8-year deal with the White Sox. It's anywhere from 175 to 250. It's probably over 200. We don't know exactly where the number is, but that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money for anybody any year. I don't care. Harper already turned down a reported 10-year, $300 million with the Nationals, and that deal may be off the table. These guys are free agents. The free agent market has been slowed down by collusion, by groupthink, by whatever. I would say that the reason it's slowed down is that the Yankees aren't front and center buying people because they have filled up their coffers, apparently, and then they don't want to spend any more money. Look at the contracts on that team. The Red Sox just won a World Series, and they're not buyers right now in this market. The Dodgers were in a World Series and apparently didn't like what they saw from Manny, so they're not involved in that, so they're not in the market. And the Cubs don't have any money to spend, apparently, so they're not in the market. So you take those teams out of the market. That's what's happened with free agency. I don't think that it's necessarily collusion. It might be just that the big spenders aren't in the market this year for whatever reason it might be. Maybe because they've already bought so many players and have spent so much money. So, and then we look at it and we're like, we're arguing about why, oh, where are the contracts of these guys? They were off $300 million. Maybe the guy should have signed that deal when he got it. It's just the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow hasn't been there. So Manny has one firm offer, and it's the White Sox. And now everyone's going into camp, and that hasn't changed. Will it change if Harper ends up picking a team? Who knows? But the reason the Sox are hot right now is because they've actually made an offer, which is a reasonable offer by all accounts. He apparently hasn't signed it, which would indicate he's not necessarily dying to go to the South Side and play for the White Sox. So I guess if the Yankees had offered the same contract, he probably already have signed it. But those teams, apparently are not in the market.
26-year-old entering his prime with one offer before spring training might be collusion.
Okay.
Sounds like collusion.
I'm not arguing. Did not cover himself in glory in the World Series.
Agree.
The Johnny Hustle thing is coming back to haunt him a little bit.
Okay.
So there are other extenuating circumstances. I think he's a hell of a ball player, and I hope he signs with the White Sox because they need ball players. But I'm just saying, it's just hard for me to sit here and moan and complain and say the whole system is broken. All the things that are – did Verlander say that yesterday?
Yeah.
That the system is
broken? Yeah. A couple days ago.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Well, I mean, it seems to me as a normal human – that $250 million is an awful lot of money and an awful good deal for anybody to get a quarter of $1 billion. I'd be all over that.
The Rawlings gloves also fit the Yankees colors too, right?
That's true, Joe. That's a good point, yes.
David, when you were looking at the glove, I got caught up in the betting, obviously, Wait, 5-1, and now he's the -150 favorite. But then, oh, you take a step back. Well, that makes sense. We think it's a 2 or 3 team race, and bettors saw that 5-1. There's value there. I'm going to max bet it. So they got a lot of bets on the White Sox side, so that's why they changed the line. It's not based off information, at least I don't think. It feels like we're watching ESPNU, and the high school basketball player has the three hats out there, and they're just doing the fake out.
Oh my God.
And Illini fans are still mad at Cliff Alexander about that one. Manny Machado is having fun. I don't think this means he is trolling fans, but I don't think it means he's on the way either. He's just having fun because he's bored, like we all are.
I don't know if I'd say I'm bored is so much agonized by this entire process, and my own cognitive dissonance has led me to believing that he's coming here at some points and then completely dismissing that and saying that there's no chance. And now I'm so jumbled up and mixed up here that I don't really know if Manny Machado is going to sign anywhere. He might sign with the AAF at this point just to really stick it to me, because I think that would be the only thing at this point that would make me more frustrated with Manny Machado's offseason exploits. So I hope that these rumors and everything else that's swirling around today, because it is the first day, tickets go on sale for the White Sox, 10 o'clock this morning, by the way. I hope that they have some sort of Machado announcement or presser or something today, because I am not sure how much more I can handle this.
I'm about to go get in line at Dominic's for those Sox tickets. Oh, wait, they don't do that anymore.
I liked when you could go to Wendy's and you could biggie size it. And they had Ozzy in the commercial. You biggie size your meal and then you get a free Upper Deck voucher. I did that before, too.
Yeah, I'm sure you biggie sized it all right.
It's only trolling if Machado ends up going somewhere else, right? That's when it's trolling. I think as aggravating as this has been, I'm sure for the fans of baseball. See, I don't want anybody to feel sorry for Machado and Harper. All this, like, Verlander and then Kershaw yesterday that, oh, it's bad, it's this. These guys, okay, are going to make more money playing one game of baseball next season than you might make in 10 years at your job, okay? So don't feel bad for these guys at all. Like, oh, baseball's out to get these guys. Oh, my goodness gracious. How in the world can they get their life together? They don't even know where they're supposed to go for spring training. Wow, baseball's broken. At least this is the fun stuff. So I hope this is Manny having some fun while he waits, knowing that he's going to be paid handsomely for playing a kid's game.
And I get it. The big deal contracts haven't been there. But go talk to Giancarlo Stanton. Don't talk to MLB. Go find out why these contracts haven't worked for some of these players that have gotten the massive deals. That's where you should go bitch
and moan. Absolutely. Show me one that's worked, right? Show me one that's paid off for everybody other than the player.
Scherzer.
Max Scherzer's pretty good contract.
Yeah, but have they won? I mean, have they won anything?
Well, they haven't not won because of Max Scherzer. He's been the best pitcher in baseball. He's lived up to his contract.
Okay, that's one. How about the other 10?
You asked for one.
Okay.
Jason Hayward.
Jay Hay. They won.
They won, but he hasn't lived up to his contract.
WWE on Joe Madden, they might not have won.
That's exactly the opposite, though. They won, and he hasn't lived up to his contract.
And I don't know that people feel sorry for the players as much as they bemoan the fact it's bad for baseball, because you've got 100 players. You don't know what teams they belong to. Part of being a fan is getting excited about new teams, new players, new season. And right now, everything's in limbo because of this broken system.
You know what? That's an interesting question.
What is a bigger sign of football fever, the AAF ratings, or the fact that ABC will broadcast from the Scouting Combine for the first time?
We did it! Yes! We got another one!
I love that question.
The streak is alive, I got to tell you. I had to do some thinking there, Kevbo, to keep coming back with the AAF at you.
You are sick individuals.
But I am very pleased.
I was so proud of you.
Thank you, buddy. And it made the cut, which really was exhilarating when I saw it.
Anything to troll Kevin.
That's
This was so much fun.
Speaking of trolling.
This is baby shoes. Trolling.
I would never troll anybody else, so I don't respect being trolled myself.
Oh, I don't blame you. But, I do think this is a sign of football fever. And I know that the Bears have no draft picks, and I know that that they don't pick till the third round. So maybe there isn't the sort of combine fever going on in Chicago as there is around the country. But this Kyler Murray story has just made the combine even bigger. And the ABC is going to broadcast the combine quarterbacks and I think is it quarterbacks and wide receivers. They're going to go with some skill position players, and they're going to go with some times and show some guys, and they'll have all their people talking this thing up. I mean, the combine has hit not just national television, we've seen that, but to be on network television is really a sign of the times.
Yes.
And I think it speaks volumes about where we are with football fever in this country. And the fact that now I think there's a better feel for college quarterbacks having an impact in the NFL. And that's something that really will benefit Kyler Murray. And I think this is an example of football fever. Here.
Combine fever, you say? No, it's football flu, and it's an epidemic.
I like it.
Is going to be great to watch the combine on national TV. And we may be the only two people. No, I don't think we're the only two people. I think maybe overly excited about this because we like football and we like to talk football, and we're in Chicago where you can talk football pretty much all year round.
We're among the few people that if we're not at the combine, we're home watching.
Yes, exactly.
So to have it on ABC just pumps
me up. And I think we both have been there and we've been around that scene, and you know that that is like a NFL convention, and then not only with writers but with executives and coaches. It's great access. The prospects, I think, are almost incidental. It's fun to speculate. It's fun to project. But I don't know that everyone goes there just to watch, you know, who's got the fastest 40-yard dash time among wide receivers. I couldn't tell you who that's going to be. And I couldn't tell you who it was last year. But I can tell you what I can remember what it was like to stand in front of Mitch Trubisky and Patrick Mahomes,
sure,
and Deshaun Watson at their NFL Combine podium experience. And I could to try to project which one was going to be more NFL ready based on that and based on what they showed. It is an event. It's now going to be a nationally televised event on a network that understands the fascination we have with the NFL and the fascination we have with football. So I am there for the scouting combine on ABC. I'm there for AAF. I'm there for football.
Seek help, please.
So the big difference,
that's great,
obviously, with the combine, we know these players. Some of them are going to make a huge impact in the NFL, maybe even be all pros, change organizations. We watch them play in bowl games and throughout the college football season. But the answer here, the bigger sign of football fever, is definitely the AAF. The Super Bowl ends. Could you imagine any other sport? Baseball season ends, Game 7 of the World Series, and the next week you have minor league baseball on TV and everybody's showing up. NBA Finals ends, you have minor league level basketball, the D-League out there, and people are showing up. No, it's not happening in any other sport. So AAF ratings is the bigger sign of football fever.
If you would, anybody, this is just you, Joe, I thought I'd go to you first because, of course, of your gambling addiction that cripples you. If anybody would like to make a wager on these ratings for the AAF, because they are going to plummet so quickly in the following weeks.
Apples and oranges,
yeah,
though.
Of course, everybody's going to come out on the first week and see the freak show.
No.
Steve Spurrier running the flea flicker. You know what else draws flies? Something else that I can't say here on the air. So
not 35th and Shields.
Can't come back from that one. I'm just going to have to pass the baton.
You've put it on the tee. I got to take a swing. Listen, I think Joe's right. I mean, if you compare it to another sport ending their season and then the following week their minor league, where even people like us that crave football, that are addicted to football, can barely name like five legitimate players in the league. I mean, you know the coaches better than you know the actual players. Right. And plus, they're in smaller cities. None of them are in Chicago. So to me, that's the thing. I mean, I'm surprised. I didn't realize ABC could get involved with the combine. I thought that was like NFL Network only, yep, type programming. So I don't know how that I'm actually interested to find out how that all happened.
I think they own ESPN and ESPN. You know what I'm saying?
NFL Network doesn't own ESPN.
ABC.
I know, but.
So I'm saying it's on the NFL Network, and then they allow some shows. It's going to be broadcast more than ever outside the NFL Network this year.
Does this mean Joe Tessitore is going to run the 40-yard dash?
Oh, boy.
Well, how about Tessitore versus
Booger.
Right, that'd be fun.
Rich Eisen?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like head-to-head now.
Okay, that is our obligatory AAF question that we got past Kevin. Magical. What do you think? What was the best moment of Theo's news conference? And we're going to play some of that for you. We're going to go over this stuff. What do you expect to hear from Addison Russell? And is he a roster lock in your mind? We'll get Theo's opinion of that, too. What do you think of the motto? We'll hear from Joe, and I guess own it now a lot better than courage, urgency, and belief. Whew. It's a little bit wordy.
Buy the T-shirt anyway.
Silence, cunning, and exile. James Joyce, look it up. Whether it's baseball hats, baby shoes, or Rawlings gloves, are Sox fans being trolled? Do you feel like you're being trolled on this Manny Machado thing, or is it going to happen? And again, tell us something you love about the AAF or the Combine. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 and score.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.